But I'm also confident that I can try not to make mistakes. See, it's not what I'm looking for. It's how I'm thinking this morning. And what I know this morning, I have confidence that if God said it, oh, help me here, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. If God said it, we need to believe it. And right now, this word is need to be in a place in our hearts that we believe, being confident of this very thing. What is this very thing? What is it that's troubling you this morning? What is it that you think that what is needing to be changed or has come to be changed that you think that's what you need to arrive? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it isn't. What it is what you hear this morning, this word of God, because this word of God is good for us this morning. This word of God is nourishing. How many know it's nourishing this morning? How many know that we have a God that we the worship, right? The praise, come on. I mean, how many know why we clap our hands? How many know that we still can't be in one accord clapping our hands? Come on. Come on. It's just, you know, we haven't learned how to get into the rhythm. Well, that's biblical. We need to get in the rhythm with God Almighty and His Word and His Spirit and His guidance. Because I mean, know that we should always ask God to order our steps. Because we should never be in the wrong place ever at the wrong time. But when you depend on God to order those steps, He ordered you here this morning. How many know? I mean, no, He ordered many. These seeds should all be full for all the people we have ministered to, all the people we put seed into, all the people we prayed for, all the people we casted out devils out of, all the people we have laid hands and healing virtue flew through them. They should be right here. This church should be beyond measure. We should be where you won't even think, but not everybody understands this. And this is why we come there. I come here this morning with confidence. How many know what that means? I know that when He woke me up and prepared me, it started throughout the week, being out here and the properties, and when today was to come, that no matter who's here and who's not, we're going to be ready for those that are here. No matter what. Not that He didn't call everybody. He called everybody. Trust me. Convictions are going out, not condemnation. God's not going to condemn you, but He'll convict you. Why? Because this is His day. We like to say it, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many agree? Oh, help me here, Jesus. Being confident, back to the word, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing that He, say He, who's He? Who's He? God? I hope that's what Paul the Apostle is writing about. I would hope that how we're receiving it, that He. And sometimes we don't understand that this word, especially, and I'm talking to the Christian. This is not for non-Christians. You know that. This word is for the Christian. Say the Christian. How many Christians are in this house this morning? How many understand what the word Christian means? I know somebody has an answer. Christ-like. What does that mean? Want to be like Jesus? Come on. Isn't that what we strive to be like? Like Jesus? Hello? The man of God is talking to us. So this is for the Christians. This is for the non-Christian. However, the non-Christian is in the same category as you. Say me. What does that mean, Pastor? The confidence that God is going to show us that's in this word, being confident of this very thing, this one thing, that he has begun a terrible work, a half-hearted work, a quarter possible work. No, it's none of those. He that has begun a good work in you, say you, I receive it. You just gave me a word that God's going to complete me. Come on, Jerry Maguire, you complete me. Come on, help me here. They're trying to take God's word, Nike, right? Just do it. That's Jesus said those words. But you know, you'll say it for Nike and you'll say it because of a movie. But God said it to us before all of that ever existed. He said, which He has begun a good work. Good, say good. I mean, know what the word good means to according to the word of God. It means useful. It doesn't mean like we think a good, you know, a pat on the back. It also means pleasant. I mean, you know what we are to Almighty God? How many really understand what we are to our Savior? Actually, another word means excellent. I mean, know that you're excellent in His eyes. Why? Because who began the work? Not us. Come on, somebody. It actually means upright. It actually means honorable. These are the Greek definitions that you can look for and be confident that this is what God is saying about who? Who's He talking about? He said us, right? That's in you, me, I, them, those. Come on, church. You got to learn to put yourself in the actual Word of God because He's speaking to you, not them. He's speaking to you directly because you're the one that has the Bible open, or if not, you're reading it on our screen, and that's a different version up there. And He will perform it until the what day? That is Jesus Christ. What does that mean? To the return of Christ. Come on, I mean, no, He's coming back. And He's not through with you. Thank God He's not through with us. Amen. But thank God even the more so. If you have anything to be thankful for this morning, that He hasn't come. Because He, if He did, some of us still might be here. And we don't want that. Say amen. I'm one that don't want that. I don't want to come to a church and everybody's gone. And I'm still here. What happened if that happened? If Jesus comes? And I mean, no, when He comes, that's a whole different scenario. When He comes back, He's coming back with the saints to make war. Have you heard the song, War in the Heavenlies? We're coming back. I'm talking about a church that's going to be empty one day because a calling, a rapture, it's called the calling, the catching away. You have to be ready for this. And even when He, watch this, we're going to close you off properly. Even though you do and are taken away, one of those that are taken away, did you know it's not complete yet? God's not completed, but He's going to accomplish it, what needs to be, because we're just in a journey to that place that God's going to fulfill. Now watch this. Let's read it from a different version. I mean, you got it a version like that. I'll leave it there up there. I'm going to go to the Easy English just for you could understand this better. Where does Paul the Apostle get this from? Where did he learn this from? Where did he think he got this word from? Where do you think that he was ministered, that he received it? Because he wasn't with the 12 apostles. He was years later. Hello, somebody. He wasn't there with Jesus walking on the earth. Hello, are you here? You can say amen in this church. We're not going to punish you if you say amen. But where did he learn this word? Where do we think that he has a right to? Like I've been said, what gives you a right to say the things that you say? I say, I have a right because I've been called by the author of this book. Come on. And being the author, he's also the finisher of this life. Come on. He's the beginning and the ending of this life now. Didn't realize it before. How many agree? But this Easy English says, I know that God has begun to do good things in you. How many know that we can always see the bad in people? How many know that that's the first thing we recognize is the bad in people? Better yet, how about you that have ever done bad in your life? Has you ever had anybody bring it up to you? Have you ever had someone can't see what you're striving now that you've made a change in life? But all they can see is nothing that you are doing right? Hello, somebody. This is why you keep your eyes on the one that died for you. The one that resurrected for you. Because I can assure you, I understand this because we coming into Jesus at the time we did, when none of our family members were like that. All they were was lovers of the world and the lovers of pleasure of the world. They had nothing to do with God, wanted nothing to do with God, wanted everything the world can offer. That when we made a change, all of a sudden, we're the cancer. All of a sudden, we're the disease. Come on. And all we're doing is trying to make this journey in the way God has called us to make it. Because I wasn't looking like them no more. I wasn't acting like them no more. I wasn't doing the things they were doing anymore. We became the disease. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Why? Because it's not that we made a great different change. All we did is cut our hair. All we did is all of a sudden we're not dressing like we used to dress. All of a sudden, we don't drink like we used to drink. We don't take the things we used to take. All of a sudden, we're going to work. Come on, we got a job. Hello? All of a sudden, we're dressing a little different. Come on. We're acting a little different. Hello? And we became a disease. And no matter what the talk was, all they could ever see and remember, well, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember how you acted there? Do you remember how this went? Do you remember how you were not so responsible before? It's amazing how they can remember all of that. You know what's funny? You remember that about yourself. And I want you to know right now, because when we get to this, that I know that God has begun a good thing. And you know what that thing was? That thing began is to erase the memory of those bad things that have happened to you. To make them right. That's part of the process. Say the process. And I'm going to tell you, if you're anything like me, it took him 30 years to get things out of me. Because we did some horrible things. Hello, somebody. We did things that weren't right. How many know what I'm talking about? We did things that were dirty, wrong. And it took being cleansed almost 30 years to get him out of that memory. And you know why he couldn't get it out of the memory? Because we wouldn't let it go from the heart. Because it's stuck there. How many know what I'm saying? It's stuck there. And you know when it gets stuck there, at times, not only when you're trying to do your best, is when you're going to hear a voice that's not from God. And this is why it's important you know the voice of God. God's not going to condemn you. He'll never condemn you. Romans 8:1 says, I'll never condemn you, but we will condemn others because we condemn ourselves. Why? Because of the thoughts. Come on. Remember what forgiveness is? If God ever tells you to forgive someone, it's not about them. It's about you. It's about you, what you've done. It's about you letting go. How many know we're supposed to let go? Well, the old saying, let go in what? Come on, let go in what? Lies. You don't let go and let God. Come on, say amen. And so understanding what people say, what people do to us, and because what we have done, and because of those reminders, you have an enemy that uses them to remind you. But when, you don't need anyone to remind you of what you haven't let go of. This is why the accomplishments is the title, because what God has begun, say what He started in my life. I heard about an addiction that started when she was in the embryo stage. Hello? When she was in the womb, life was already taking and holding on after her. Come on. 47 years of addiction. Come on. Come on. And it's all right to smoke, they say. Oh, yeah. Tell everybody that's dying of cancer. Hello. 47 years. And today's her 30th day. So stop mourning for yourself. You know what that means in the Bible when someone passes on and they go home and the Lord gives us 30 days to mourn them and He says, now come out, because if not, you will get stuck there. You won't be able to move forward in life when life is telling you, keep on coming. Come on. Keep on going. Come on. We're not through with you. The Lord will say, I'm not through with you. Come on. Keep coming. Come on. So now you start rejoicing for day 31. Come on, because day 31's coming. Amen. Like we heard, it's Friday. Yeah, but Sunday's coming. Come on. He's not in the grave no more. He's in our hearts. He's in our life. He loves us. Come on. This is why we have to understand these songs are written by those that have struggled in life, that had to accept that not being loved. Because I didn't know it. Do you know what real love is? Do you really know deep down in your heart what really love is? Love isn't that I get to sleep with you in bed. Love isn't that we can go procreate and have a child. That's not love. That's called having, is your kids in the house? Now, there are kids here. Close your ears, Costello. You're over 18, but you close your ears. Close my favorite one. Can't look at me in the eye. She hates me, the baby. She loves me. Come on. She will love me. But how many really know what love really is? Because we just sang it. He's a lover of my soul. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. And it says right here, how many understand He's begun a good work? That's what love is. But I don't think we understand this, what real love is. Love doesn't stop. It doesn't give up. Hello. It fights. It moves forward. It sticks to its position, regardless of what everyone else believes. It sticks to its rightful position because the only one we understand, and well, I pray that you will understand, God is the only one that really knows the word love. We don't understand it. Say amen. We quit. Come on. We quit. We quit when things don't go right. How many agree? We quit because you don't agree. Hello, we quit. You know, I shouldn't go there, but you know, we're fighting some battles out here. Come on, say amen. And I was with one of those that we were hoping for. You know, I was talking with the person, and I was actually going to say something I needed to say, but I had to hold back because all of a sudden they're telling me their problems. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm not your pastor." I mean, know that we're all to have a listening ear to somebody that needs to be heard because you're the vessel. You're the church, right? And being a part of the church, that's part of the good things that God has begun in you. And he's not through with you. And he's not going to be through with you until he says, he said it's finished. What he finished is your accomplishments to come. Because before that, we wouldn't be able to make it. And we, in our conversations with that person, he began to tell me about his marriage. And all of a sudden, he doesn't drink, but she likes drinking. And in the mode that she was drinking, and here it comes, that she was cooking something on the stove, and she passed out. And he got home, and the house was full of smoke. And he had to go turn it off because what happens when smoke? You have a smoke detector. It's going off. Say hello. Yeah, I'm listening to this story. Like okay, and so he did what he had to do, turn it off. And the worst thing he did, he woke her up, and he said, "What are you doing?" And you know, sometimes have you been? Am I the only one? Don't wake me up and start talking to me. You know, just because you're awake, you know, and you're moving and you're waking me up and I'm supposed to be able to understand everything you say, don't take, well, hold on. Come on. It's bad enough when we are awake together. What? How many know what I'm saying? I'm being honest with you. Come on. And all of a sudden, she started responding and blamed him for the house being in smoke, blamed him because the food was burning, blamed him because why she drinks, and then she said, "I'm done with you." Years of marriage, I'm done. You don't ever want to hear that from your spouse. "I'm done with you." And he started sharing with me, and in my head, I'm saying, "That's you, God. Sorry. Sorry, because I'm praying God's will to be done in this area." And so I said, "Well, brother, you better take those words serious, because that's one thing. I don't care if she's not coherent completely or she's a little bit inebriated still, but you better take those words, because those words didn't just blurt out. Those words are in the heart. Come on." And you're in church. They're in church, mind you. A Christian church. Their daughters and their worship team. He doesn't drink, but she does. Is it okay to drink? You do with God. And I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. But that's besides the point, because he's not done with you. So I'm going to let him deal with you. You know, search the scriptures and you'll find out. And this is why you don't know, because you haven't really learned the scriptures like we ought to. Because part of the good works that it says right here, I know in easy English, I know that God has begun to do good things in you. I mean, you know, he's doing good things in us. What are the good things that he needs to do that we need to have done? And one number one thing is take the old heart out of us. Ezekiel says it's stony, it's hard, it's not right, it's evil. Even the Bible says your heart is evil. I'm not telling you. The Bible says your heart, our hearts are evil. And how many know that comes out quickly? Come on, say amen. When something don't go right, where's your heart? Somebody does something wrong to you, where's your heart? I don't care who it is, where it comes from, no matter what. When something doesn't go right, where is your heart? I learned that in my third month of Christianity, man, my heart was so far off. God delivered me out of drug addiction. Hello. My wife and I got delivered. She fought harder than I had to fight. Mine was instantaneously set free. But what I didn't realize, I wasn't free. I was free from addiction, but I wasn't free from myself. My heart has seen too much in life as a child, all the way through childhood, all the way through the education system, all the way through just life itself. Come on. And I had to learn that. And that even though I knew this word being 30 years, there's things I had to get released from me because people wouldn't let me forget. And people weren't the problem. It was the devil that I was resisting. And today I know I'm free. 10 years of freedom. Come on. 10 years of freedom up here. Hello. I'm going to tell you, the part of the good work is that you understand that he's begun in us. Say us. He's not through with us yet. You are not ready to go to be with Jesus. Not yet. Remember last week, the first thing he did, he began to what? What did he have to clean out of the church? The love of money. He had to go to overturn the tables of those in the church. What were they doing? They were selling the sacrifices that had blemishes. Remember, to sacrifice with God, and he's coming back for us that have no blemishes because he hasn't removed blemish out of his equation. He's coming and he's preparing us. This is why you heard Brother Leo say about what we're learning on Wednesday nights. Brother, Minister John is being honest. And I already know his honesty because I already know him. Come on, say amen. And every time he's talking, I go, yep, that's him. Come on, up a little further. Come on, do a little further, brother. Because I got a memory like an elephant. Hello, when it comes to the things of God. Come on. Why? Because I've learned to put on the mind of Christ. And how many know that the mind of Christ, by the Spirit of God, reminds you of everything. That's right, not bad. Every time you remember bad, it's not the Spirit of God. That's your enemy and you aligning together and agreeing. Come on. And you're not doing what God has called you to do in the book of Corinthians. And I'm not going to tell you where, because you need to learn to do what the Word of God says in Timothy. I'm not going to tell you whether it's first or second. Say, that's not right. Well, sure it is right. You can Google it. I don't even have to do a message. I don't need to do no study. I can go to AI and say, give me a message on this, and it pops up. Come on. And by the way, Canada is just approved. You cannot use the scriptures no longer in their country for anything. You can't correct nobody of their gender. You can't correct them of their walk or use of life because it is a crime now. I already shared with you about China. China's already took out the Bible and turned it around and wrote their own Bible. But if you don't know, it's going to sound good like it did in the beginning. Oh, God shall not surely do this to you. The churches are full when we don't tell you the truth. If I tell you half the truth, remember, it's still a whole lie. I've learned I'm going to tell the truth. So help me. What do they tell you in the courts? But they used to, I don't know, I haven't been to court for a long time. Thank the Lord for that. Didn't they tell you to put your hand in the Bible before? And they tell you to say what? The whole truth? And nothing but the truth? So help you who? Right? And if you don't, what is it? It's a crime. Well, how many know we're constantly failing with God when we don't know what his word says? What is the truth? The truth is that God has begun a good thing in me. Say, in me. Oh, you're not getting this. And he will continue to work in you. In me. See, he's not. This is why I said you got to talk. You know, when people start judging you and condemning you, because, come on, 30 days, that's it? What took God so long? 47 years. What took him so long? What kind of God you serve? Because she was in church. Hello, how many have been in church and things have gone horrible? Been in church. Some of you have been raised in church and don't even know God yet. So confused. How many have been in church and confused? When the Word of God says God is not a God of confusion. Oh, help me here, Jesus. We got people in church that just want to be used in the power of God. You don't want to be used in the power of God because you don't know the enemy you're going to have to face. And when he comes at you, because he's going to come after you because you want to challenge him, you best be ready. Right now, God protects you. But if you want to be used, come on, bring it on. Say amen. Come on, devil, bring it on. And he's coming. Be ready. And know not to be fearful. Be ready to command because he has to obey. But he's going to manipulate you. And when I say come, get ready, you think he's not going to come and say, I'm the devil coming after you. He's going to come like an angel of light to you. Oh, come on. You know that's not God. Why? Because he's going to manipulate you to forget what you have and who you are. You're a child of the Most High. Remember what we said? It is finished. What was finished in the droppings of the blood? What did he give you? At the first drop of blood, he gave you all dominion. That's why he bled in the garden. Remember that last week? He bled in the garden. Why? Bring back what was stolen. I gave you dominion. I gave you authority. Today we have to thank God and always be thankful that he's given us authority. He's given us the armor. Come on. He's filled us with his spirit. He's gifted us. Hallelujah. We have gifts operating. Every one of us are gifted. Every one of God's people are gifted. We just don't know how to hear from God that those gifts be operating. If you think you can walk on water, find a pool somewhere and try it. And I'm serious. I thought I had faith to move mountains. And I've talked to these mountains. And if you notice, they're still there. And I had great faith back then. And I have a great faith today. I have great faith that I walked on my pool to see if God would honor me. The word that I believed in. And guess what? I fell in. And well, first thing you hear, well, where is your God? And I had to hear that on the death of my brother. Where is your God? And I said, yeah. And I said, yes, where are you? You promised me. Hello, somebody. And you know what the Lord said? I'm right here. But I didn't understand that. But he gave me a peace. I'm going to take that and run. I'm right here. Come on. I'm right here. Why? Because all things are going to work out for your good. Romans 8:28. You got to understand all things. Say some things. No, all things work out for our good. Why? Because he started this good work in us. But we have an enemy that's here. And we're going to cover this next week about the thief. Say the thief. You all know John 10:10. I gave you a hint. John 10. Read it. John 10:10. The gospel of John 10:10. Next week, I may cover it. And this will be a part of the accomplishments of God. Because he talks about a thief. And we keep looking for a thief, but it's not the way we should be looking. Hello? Because I was caught up in it. Just like I was caught up in these things of what the enemy was trying to do and not letting us be fulfilled. You will walk on water if necessary. Come on. You will. But right now, it's not necessary. Hello? Unless you know that I do walk on water. Every one of you do. And what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean, Minister John? What does that mean, I walk on water? See, he's been around. He walks on water. Why? Because water represents the word. And if you're walking and believing of the word of God, you're walking on. See, but everybody wants you to say, well, if you are a Christian, go walk on water. Well, go do it. Find a puddle. Say, I just walked on it. Come on, get back at them. They want to be foolish? Be foolish with them. Walk on water. Oh, you know the word of God, or if not, that's the devil talking. You old snake, you. Why? Because the work he's began in me. Come on. He says, and he's going to continue to work until the day. So no matter how many failures, no matter how many fault findings, no matter how many false accusements, hello, somebody, because the accuser's coming to accuse you, trust me. And he's not gonna do it in a way. He's gonna do it in a way right when you're doing your best morning, best afternoon, best evening. You're having a great day, and all of a sudden you're gonna hear this voice, the accuser of the brethren. Because he's in the, when you're hearing that, that means he's before God, making an accusation. When God was boasting on you, and in his boasting, you were having a wonderful day. Why? Because your mind was set on thee. So you were in peace with thee, Isaiah 26 and 3. He will keep them in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee? If you don't have the mind of Christ, you can't have that perfect peace. And when you do, that's when you're doing the greatest day. Come on, how many have had? I've had a lot of great days. I love those great days, and I don't love when they get interrupted. And you know who interrupts those days? Usually it's not you, it's someone else. That's whose mind is not stayed on him. But because the good work he's begun in us, he's going to use us at that moment. Take us out of our peace. How do I know? Because we just talked about it last week. No, the week before, I'm sorry. He had to go in before he went to the garden, right? He was full of joy and peace, right? And then he had to enter the garden. And what did he do at the garden? He had to take on the sins of the world. And that's why it says it, and we said it, and it's recorded. I'm not going to remind you, but he went in there with the joy in all the power, and then he released that power away, and now he's human being just like you are and I without the Spirit of God. And he felt the sins of the world. And he had to tell God, his Father, take this away. This is too much. Anybody ever said that about your walk? God, I can't handle this. Lord, why is this happening? Why are you letting this? Come on, somebody. That's your enemy talking to you. And you're agreeing. Yes, I know, because I've been there. Why, God? Not realizing there's an outcome to come, because he's not through. That's one day of your life. Hello. Came to rob your peace. Came to rob your joy. Came to steal from you what he has no right to steal. But what he has a right to is you give it up to him. Your enemy wants you to give up your all fulfillment that Almighty God has come to give you. But then God, it says, he will continue to work you, in you, say in me, until the day when Jesus Christ returns. See that return, you're misreading this. The return is after the catching away. The return isn't Jesus coming to take us. He's not coming back. That's a call. Your ears better have, get some Q-tips, better have them clean, because you're gonna have to hear that call. Come on, you're gonna have to hear the trumpets that are gonna be blown. And you're gonna have to know that he's coming for me. No, he's coming, he's taking me now. And they're going to be caught up at that time, according to 1 Thessalonians. If you read it, the rapture. How many believe in the rapture? Raise your hand. Come on, it's on camera. Raise your hand. You believe you're going to be taken away? Don't be ashamed. Because the enemy is going to try you and keep you not believing that. He's not coming. That's a doctrine that's, he already came. You're right. He's not coming. He's calling. Big difference. Come on. He's called you. He's chosen you. Come on, say amen. So the work is not through until the Jesus Christ returns. I'm coming back with him because we need to be completed at that point. We're going to be put in a position, and I told him, I'll ride the horse with you then, but I'm not riding a horse now. Come on, he's going to come riding. He's going to be riding a white horse. He first established a donkey, peace. Remember, we covered that. But now he's coming a horse, war. Come on. I'm coming to war. I'm coming to take back what belongs to me fully and once and for all. Say amen. And we're part of that. So I want to be a part of that army. Come on. I want to ride a horse right behind Jesus. And I don't care if I'm at the end of the line, as long as I'm with Jesus. Come on. Say amen. Because there are some that have gone through worse things than we ever have faced. Because we read about them. We just don't know all things. But one thing he did say, until the day of Jesus Christ, then God will finish his work, get it, in you. Not until then. So he's not through with you. I am sure about that. Now, where is all this coming from? Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis. I'm going to keep it short today. Just about 3 more hours. What? Am I disturbing your time with the world? your time that God says belongs to him. See, there's a lot in between that we're not going to cover right now, but there's a lot. Genesis chapter 1. And what we're going to read about is, how many remember what the sixth day was? How many know what the sixth day is? That's you and me. We're day six. Say amen. So what does the enemy want to do and to scare you? Because it's written 666. It's written to scare you. No, it's not written to scare you. It's to remind you. Who is number six? We are. Because on the sixth day, come on, he made what? He made you. Then he made the next one, known as Eve. Hello? Look at it. So the easy English version, I'm going to keep it there because verse 31 of chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, it says, God looked at everything he made. Watch it, ladies. Ladies, look up here. I'm going to get you first. I'm going to get you first because it's our fault that we made you feel the way you feel. Okay? We made you feel inadequate. We made you feel like you're worth nothing. And it was like that throughout the prior covenant. Am I right or not? Women, in fact, Islam. You are nothing in the eyes of Islam. You better get it together because them women are washed not in the blood. But they are nothing in the eyes of Islam. Nothing. Well, Pastor, that's not fair. What do you blame the man? Because the man that God made first was being lazy. How many know men can be lazy? I mean, how many know we can be lazy? How many know we don't like to be disturbed? Hello, somebody. Oh, you're not liking me. But that's okay because he loves me. I just heard it. Oh, how he loves me. And so it says it right here. God looked at everything. Well, I know New King James Version says that God saw everything that he had made. How many know what he made? Before he made you. Before he made man. How many know what he made? Come on. Watch this. He saw everything that he made, and indeed it was. That statement in King James Version is really for the man. When he made man, he was very pleased. Come on. And this is why he knew when man was going to fail. Even though he did what he knew he shouldn't done, he made another person for him. Come on. Not in the same manner, not out of the dust. He made it out of the person, the rib. Come on. Are you here? Paul the Apostle is quoting all of this way back then. But he was very pleased with us. Say us. He was very pleased what he accomplished at that time because the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And who caused him to come out of his rest? We did. Say we did. We got to take responsibility. Say amen, somebody. Why? Because we were being lazy. We weren't being watchful. Catch this. We weren't doing what God called us to do. You should have been paying attention to who Eve was talking to. Hello, she's talking to an animal. And whether you believe this or not, the animal at that point had legs and arms. He was not a serpent. He was called the serpent, but it's like the salamander. I mean, you know the difference between a salamander. I probably should have put it up there for you. He has legs and arms. Come on, you know legs. We call them arms, but they're four legs. So he was there up against that tree. Can you see him with his hands? You know, the T-Rex, the little hands. Come on, big old monster with a T-Rex. You know, you're all afraid of me. Come on, why? Because I'm going to eat you. I'm going to talk to you till I get hungry. Come on. You got to know your position in this world because you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You find that in the writings of 1 John. In this world, not of this world. But he said it looked good at everything he had made and saw that it was not only good, he saw that it was what? Very good. He's talking about man. And if you know anything better, before he made you, before he called you, he provided everything for you. All you had to do was take care of it. All you had to do is come into your place. All you have to do is acknowledge. All you have to do is listen. Say, listen. The problem we have is that we don't understand when the revelator wrote, hear what the Spirit is saying, because we don't want to hear what the Spirit is saying, because oftentimes it's the opposite of what we want. But God is here to give us what we need. Say amen, somebody. As we approach this, He made all that we need. We got day, we got night. Come on, you got rest now. We're separated. Come on. And then He started giving, separating the water. Look, you go over here and you can go to the beach now and enjoy the beach. Say amen. Except California beaches, because we've got nothing but sewage spills in them. Hello. Hello, where does the sewers go? Where's all sewers going? Hello? Septic tank. Okay, they're draining the septic tank. Where are they going to put it at? Everything leads to the ocean. Come on, say amen. That's why when they have bursts, in the, usually at the times of rain because there's too much water gathering, California beaches are not blue. Come on, say amen. Is that too much honesty for you? I love the beach. Don't get me wrong. I love just sitting out there and listening to the waves. That's all I like. I like the East Coast water better. Sorry. Better than Hawaii's. Say amen. Do you know? But what did he do? He separated and made water from that. And then, of course, he gave us stars for that we won't be in the total darkness. Hello? Better understand these words that God is so good that it represents today. How many know that we should never be in darkness? As a Christian, you should never, say never, be in darkness. Why? Because He provided the light. And now today He says, you are the light. So if it's dark where you are at, don't look at the darkness. Look at where your light is. Check your batteries. Come on, say amen, because you're the light. Why? Because He's in us. The accomplishments are in us. The Spirit of God is in us. We are like that. What causes a bright day? We have a, that's why we say, your day was going so great, and all of a sudden, dark time came. Why? But you're still the light. You'll never lose your light. It'll be dim, but you'll never lose who you're supposed to be. Come on. Some of you are having a hard time with this. The Spirit of God is going to deal with you because He wants to fulfill you. Say amen. And then it says that it was again, God looked at everything on the English version, and He saw that it was very good. Evening passed, and then it was morning. This was the sixth day. Paul, the apostle, is writing that what he has begun. And all of you have a past. How many agree? All of you have memories. How many agree? Come on. Every one of us has some issues of our past, and we have goodness of our past. How many of you remember the goodness when you were a child? More than anything that was wrong. How many of you have had good times while you were in the education system from kindergarten all the way to whatever you have reached? Hello. All of you have family that can assure you goodness. Not all. But assure you some goodness somewhere. But why is it that we can't remember that? All we remember is the evil. Because that's your enemy. See, my enemy. Because we don't recognize that where we are in the month of April 2026 on the 12th day, that what God is speaking to us is that He's not through with us. And I got good news. He's not through with them either. Say amen, somebody. Because those that are out there being the trouble to us, how many realize that you were the troubler at one time, but God's mercifulness, God's grace was sustaining and sustaining us even now. That when you were ready, even though He prepared you to be ready, and when you finally accepted the call of God, meaning His salvation plan, He was waiting for us. Say amen, somebody. And now we know, say we know, that He's never going to leave us. He never has left us. He's been there from the beginning of time. And I can assure you, say assure you, no matter what loved ones we've had, being in Christ, because Paul the Apostle writes it. No, it's Dr. Luke writes it in the book of Acts, that if you shall be saved, so shall your household, your bloodline. Most of us are here because somebody's bloodline prayed for us. Somewhere. See, what we don't realize is the Abraham promise. You remember the age of Abraham, right? You remember everything about Abraham and Sarah, but But you don't remember how many years it took for a promise to be fulfilled. How long did it take Abraham and Sarah to have what was promised to them? And when because a shortness of human ability, say human ability, the shortness of our thought process, the shortness of our will. Again, this time it was Eve, the failure. Come on. First it was Adam. Then it was Eve. She failed. Right? No, not Eve. Sarah. Why? You don't ever tell a man, especially your husband, go sleep with that girl. He's not going to tell you no, honey. You're going to let me? Why? And you're going to use a reason. That's good enough for me. Let her go have your baby. How many wives will do that today? Hello? Well, there's a religion out there that can have more than one wife. And they have to share. God forbid that it's Christianity. But they call it Christianity. What do you say? Come on. You don't ever tell a man to share. Same goes with men. Don't ever tell your wife to go share. There's people out there that share their marriages. That's ridiculous. Amen, somebody. I don't know why I'm saying that. Don't do that. It's not from God. Come on. But you don't ever fail in those realms. Just like don't be, learn from what you have learned from Adam. Learn what you have learned from Abraham and Sarah. The timelines of what God promised you. He's not through with you. Your obstacles have come. Most times obstacles are going to come because we have put obstacles in our way. Hello. And because of that, it's going to haunt you. You release it. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't learned to release it, learn now. And even though you release it, doesn't mean it won't pop up while you're in the deepest moment of prayer, the deepest times of excitement. All of a sudden, if you don't know to cast down those images and imaginations that Paul the Apostle speaks to, because your weapons, say my weapons of warfare, because this is warfare today, say amen. Your mind is warring, but if you don't know, you can cast those images down immediately. And if you don't do that, it's going to haunt you because he's coming after you and he's gonna replay that over and over because he wants to disturb you on things that don't exist no more. But if he gets you for 1 second, he's got you. Come on, say amen. Because the good work he's begun. I have done so many foolish decisions in my walk with Christ. Before Christ, it's different, right? Being gang, being drugged, being stupid, walking with stupidity all day long. Hello? Thinking that we were this and that, only to end up crying out, amen, amen. Thank God for the cry. Thank God that he heard us. Come on. Because that was part of the journey, you know? It was my journey, not getting in line with his journey that he birthed me for. Now that we're here, say amen. I want to know my God. I want to know who my Father in heaven is. I want to know this journey. So as we close you out, remembering what he said on Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, he will complete it when he's finished with it. Until then, church, he's not finished with nobody here. So get over it. Come on, say amen. I'm sure if you talk to my wife, I'm a perfect man in her life. No amens? I have fault. Believe it or not, I do have fault. And believe it or not, I know my faults. And believe it or not, I do work on it. And believe it or not, I do ask God, help me. Because I am not faultless. He is. And he makes us faultless. Come on. He makes us whole. He completes us. That's his promise. And even though we know and we can see everybody's fault, I know your faults. I know all of your faults. Even if it's just a visit for the first time, I've already learned it because he reveals it. Say amen. Because there is none righteous right now. None. Except Jesus. But his righteousness carries through until he comes. Say amen. Stand to your feet. Father, we need your help this morning, God. We need help every day, but we need help when it comes to your house. Bow your heads with us. Let's pray an earnest prayer. Father, we need you. We need excitement of you. We need that at first love again, my God. We need that experience, Lord, that only you provide.